This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, we mentioned BetMGM just ticked up to 8 with the Eagles laying it at home. You can check out those numbers and more. The newly reconfigured BetMGM app, it's the king of sportsbooks. Visit BetMGM.com or download the BetMGM app right now. If you're in Vegas, stop by any MGM property. Bring your state-issued ID. You got to be 21 years or older. 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. As we welcome you back again, hope the start of your weekend's nice. Remember, you're going to be busy today. You're going to be busy tomorrow. Got a doubleheader today, doubleheader tomorrow. Divisional round football doesn't get any better than that. Let's go, Michael Lombardi. Of course, this is the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Let's go with your power rankings. And, you know, it's funny. We talked about the Chiefs. I'm sure not in Kansas City. They're not under the radar. But nationally, for a team that's been so great, feels they're under the radar, not your power rankings. You've got them 1 ahead of 2 San Francisco.
Well, I mean, look, they have the best quarterback in all of football. And, you know, for everything that happens during a game, there's certain things that you can't predict are going to happen during a game. And those are the plays that put the Chiefs over the top. The go back to the Tennessee game, right? You know, they're sitting there and Tennessee's playing great defense. He takes off and runs for 40 yards, gets the first down, and then he runs it in for the touchdown and gets the game into overtime. I mean, there's certain plays against the Raiders that he's got the ball 8 times in the red zone in 2 games, and he gets 8 touchdowns. I mean, it's just, to me, you can't argue with that. I mean, everything he does is situational, and he plays at a high level in that situation. The number 2 team in the league in third down offense. The number 2 team in the league in red zone offense. You know, one of the best scoring team in the league. Right, the best yards team in the league. I mean, everything he kind of does. And then what's added a little dimension to this team this year, minus Tyreek Hill, is the fact that they actually have a really good run game. Now, they're 25th in the league in attempting the runs. They don't run it a lot. But they're 8th in the league in yards per attempt. And Pacheco, this kid from Rutgers, this 7th round pick, has really proven out to be a better runner than Edwards-Helaire. He runs with incredible power and toughness. You know, and he's able to, I mean, gain 830 yards this year for them. Not bad. You know, you get a guy in the 7th round who averages almost 5 yards a carry. Now, the key is he's fumbled 5 times, right? I mean, he's fumbled, 4 times. So you got to be careful there when he's got the ball in his hands. And the same thing with Mahomes. He has a tendency to fumble. He's fumbled 5 times this year. But I think this Chief offense can play right or left-handed, and defensively, you have to understand that all he's looking to do, and I'm talking about he is Steve Spagnuolo, he's trying to create 1 negative play a drive. So if you have 11 or 12 drives, in that drive, he's trying to create a negative play with a blitz, with a pressure, and a negative is getting you into 2nd and 15, getting you into 3rd and 20, those kind of things. And with Chris Jones playing at an elite level, it's hard to block him inside. Now, Clark's got the groin injury. He's going to come back. I don't know if he'll play today. But the pressure that he brings, if they hold up out of corner, they're hard to play.
Yeah, and you mentioned that Chiefs offense, the most prolific in the NFL this year. They led the NFL in scoring at 29.3 points per. The Chiefs are favored in their 14th straight playoff game. That's the longest streak in the Super Bowl era. How about this for Mahomes in December? He's 19-3 at home in December straight up. His 3 losses have come to Joe Burrow, Tom Brady, and Philip Rivers. So Mahomes has been awesome in December at home there at Arrowhead. Even if they're not covering, he's winning football, and he's going to win the MVP this year.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. If you're going to beat Mahomes, your quarterback has to play to his level or above it. Your quarterback can't play below the level. You're not going in there with a running game to beat Mahomes. Your quarterback is going to have to make critical plays at critical moments. And that's going to be the key. You're going to get 12 possessions. You can't have 6 possessions that are empty. Field position is almost not really a criteria in the game because he can change field position with 1 or 2 throws. And he spreads the ball around. And his ability to escape and move the defense with his movement. He's not a runner, but yet his feet allow him to make critical plays, whether it's on 3rd down, whether it's on down and distance. I mean, he averages just slightly under four rushes per game, but all of them matter. all of them matter, and all of them usually get first downs or they get touchdowns, and they keep the chains going, and I think that's ultimately what makes him so good, and that's why he's so damn good in the red zone, because they've got some creativity within their offense, and then when he moves and separates the defense because they're reacting to him, he makes a throw, whether it's an underhand throw, whether it's an overhand throw, whether it's a no-look throw, he's got every throw in the book.
Can't really make sense of it, but Mahomes does perform better ATS-wise against the spread away from home. At home in his career, he's 22-24-1 ATS. Again, don't know how to make sense of that. Of course, they're big-time favorites, as they've been favorites for a long time. Okay, rounding out your top eight, San Francisco's two on your power.
But let me just say this about the Chiefs. The one thing I think about the Chiefs when it comes to covering, you know, Bucker has not had a great year. He has not. You know, he has not been a very good 50-plus field goal kicker. He's 3-for-7 in that area. He's a 75%, and he's missed three extra points. So, you know, when you get into that, you're not, if Mahomes doesn't turn it over and Bucker misses a field goal, that's your turnover, and you got to take advantage of it. And there was a moment where Bucker was more reliable than he was this year. He has not been the same player.
Absolutely. Just finish off running down the top eight teams. Of course, Kansas City, San Francisco, Philly 3, Buffalo 4, Dallas 5, Cincinnati 6, and then rounding out the 150-1 dogs coming into the year, of course, or odds, long odds, Jacksonville and the Giants sitting 8. Okay, let's transfer over go ahead.
Well, I mean, let me just say that I want to talk about San Francisco and why they're, you know, I love San Francisco. I do. I love Kyle Shanahan, how he calls the game. I love everything about what they do, but I think what we're seeing here more than anything is that their offense is what generates their defensive skill. So when they get the lead, like Philadelphia, when the two teams that are the two best teams in the NFC play the same way, although differently, they play from in front. They play the West Coast philosophy, which is we are going to score early to get the lead, and we are going to rush the passer when we have the lead. And all this conversation that San Francisco's this unbelievable defense that, you know, they can't, you know, nobody can move the ball on them, and they're the Baltimore Ravens-ish, is not really true. It's not even close to being true. I mean, in the four playoff games that Baltimore had, the team scored a combined 23 points. In four playoff games, the Baltimore Ravens allowed 23 points. In the four playoff games, the Baltimore defense, you know, in three of them total, they allowed under 200 yards. So it's a completely different, but Baltimore's defense carried Baltimore's offense. San Francisco's offense allows their defense to play at a certain level, and that's why they're so good. That's why Philly's so good.
Good stuff. VSiN Pros get the Lombardi Look Ahead on Friday. Let's go ahead and take from the look ahead. You had Michael Lombardi's top five quarterbacks. There's maybe a surprise here. Mahomes, not a surprise at 1. Joe Burrow, 2. Jalen Hurts on your list is 3. Here's where it gets surprising. You've got Trevor Lawrence at 4 over Josh Allen.
Yeah, I mean, I just think Josh, to me, I move Josh Allen slightly down, only because, to me, Josh Allen is more effective when he's the six-back offense. Josh Allen, when he's not running and carrying the football, he's not the same player, and he's prone to turn it over. Now, you say Lawrence turned it over in the first half. Yeah, he did. He did. There's no doubt about that. But he brought him back in the second half, and he made critical throws. But if he plays like he did against Tennessee in Tennessee this year or against Dallas at home, you know, that's what's going to separate him. Allen has to run the ball. He has to be part of the six-back offense. He's too inconsistent with some of his throws. He'll miss a throw here. You know, he had accuracy issues coming out of college, and they've improved. But there are times when he'll lose the strike zone. There are times. And when he loses the strike zone, combined with his turnovers, you get a really talented player that doesn't play talented during the game consistently. So I think that's why. Look, he could move up. He's never going to move down. I mean, he's always going to have the Bills where they are because he's so talented. But if he doesn't stop turning this ball over, they're going to lose one of these games, and they're really going to be a problem.
Yeah, you nailed it. Josh Allen's been reckless this year. How about Trevor Lawrence? I'm sure you've seen this stat. He is 37-0 on Saturdays in his lifetime. 2-0 in the NFL, 32-0 in college, and 3-0 in high school. So given that, you have to take the 9-9.5 with Trevor Lawrence today at Kansas City, no?
Yeah, I think you kind of have to do. I mean, like I said, I mean, for me, it's an easy one. I had this as a 4.47 game. And I know the Chiefs are really good, and I know the Chiefs will come out storming. But to me, I think Jacksonville, I think Peterson knows how to play the game. I think what he showed me in the first game was he understands what it's going to take. The execution wasn't good, but the theory, the game theory was excellent.
What do you attribute Peterson's success in the postseason, specifically as a dog? He's 6-0 ATS. He's 5-1 outright as a playoff dog. He gets his team ready to go here.
Well, I think he gets the quarterback ready to go. I mean, when he won with Nick Foles, they changed the offense to where it suited Nick Foles. And, you know, they made it up in the Super Bowl win. I mean, you know, neither team stopped one another. I mean, other than Brendan Graham getting the turnover on Tom Brady, or else, you know, the Patriots are going to go down and score in that game and probably win that game. But they didn't, and the Eagles did, and they deserved to win the game. So I think that's a lot of it. He's coached the quarterback. I think he's done a better job this year to me, and I was very critical of him. He's done a better job of managing the game and stop being reckless on fourth down. Now, I think today he's going to have to be a little bit aggressive. And I don't trust his kicker, Riley Patterson. I don't trust him. He missed two kicks there last time.
Okay, so we know the dismal first half for Lawrence and the Jags last week. How about this? In the second half, Lawrence and the Jags, they're 9-1 ATS over their last 10 against the second half spread. So second half team there with the Jags. We got Howard Eskin from Philly. We're going to go New York Daily News and Pat Leonard with the Giants next.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, when you become a VSiN Pro, remember you get the Pro Tools. I always tell you the most popular Pro Tool are the betting splits, money and bets for every game, updated every 10 minutes straight from DraftKings, today's games, and future events. Remember, just go check it out, VSiN.com/subscribe to become a VSiN Pro and get those betting splits. Okay, Pat Leonard, of course, has covered the Giants for the New York Daily News for a long time. Talking Ball with Pat Leonard is the podcast. You can find him on Twitter, PLeonardNYDN. Love talking to Pat. And just like we drew it up at the beginning of the year before the season started, right? 10 wins, postseason, divisional round. That's exactly where you had the Giants.
No doubt. With a chance to beat the Philadelphia Eagles, despite losing twice head-to-head, despite getting blown out at home, a feeling just in New York and Philadelphia of nervousness on the Eagles side, not the players, but from a fan standpoint, I think, is Jalen Hurts' shoulder healthy? Is he going to play his own game? Because one thing that Brian Daboll has shown is he can coach each week to the specific opponent and coach a winning formula. And so the Eagles are the more talented team. There's no question about it. But the Giants have a chance. And you're right, Patrick. Back in September, August, if you told me that the Giants offense was going to get the Vikings defensive coordinator fired in the playoffs, man, I'd be shaking my head.
Pat, love the sweatshirt. My man's an Ocean City guy, comes here every summer, so appreciate the love the town gets. I mean, we got to have it, you know. I mean, Bill Berman, the mayor of the town, will certainly thank you, too. I want to go to this week at practice. I mean, you got the sense that there was this confidence. I didn't see the practice. I've watched some of the clips on YouTube. But there seems to be like this unbelievable confidence permeating through the Giants team that you wouldn't think would be there knowing that we got to play the Eagles. Like, oh my God, they got killed by them at home. Did you get that sense as well?
Yeah, for sure. That's a good point. And I think all season, you know, the idea that the Giants are they playing with house money? Are they dispelling any notions of what they were going to be? They didn't really play into that. They didn't really like that, hearing that. But this was the first time, Michael, where they looked like a team that is well aware they're playing with house money. And they looked as loose as a team that really is feeling no pressure because they know all the pressure is on the Eagles, the number one seed coming off the bye, just because of how low the expectations were for the Giants coming in. They expressed it in their dancing at practice. They expressed it in the locker room. I mean, Jalen Smith talking about how much joy he's having playing on this team. Matt Breda telling me that Brian Daboll lets players be themselves, and that allows them to play free and also kind of brings it out of them in these tense moments. So if the Giants lose this game, you're absolutely right. It will not be because they have tensed up or because they are nervous or because they are concerned or intimidated. They are absolutely as loose as you could be going into not only a big game, but a game against a team that beat them so badly in early December. The Giants were admitting after that game that the Eagles were the far superior team, and yet here they are looking like they're not afraid to take them on again.
Pat Leonard, New York Daily News, and here they are led by a quarterback in Daniel Jones. I'll just say this. He was one of the players dancing at practice, as you mentioned, Pat. I hope Daniel Jones has a strong sense of self-security, because when Kafka or Daboll have been asked about his performance against Minnesota, they said, yeah, he was fine. He was good. Like they kind of gloss over the fact that he has played really well.
Yeah, well said. And it almost makes me think, even going back to the beginning of the year with Joe Shane, the GM, refusing to say anything glowing about Daniel Jones, the person or the player, it almost sounds like a team trying to stamp down a guy's value going into a contract negotiation. The problem is ownership has already, you know, sent themselves over the moon over this guy, not only before the year, but John Mara and Steve Tisch talking in the locker room after the win over Minnesota about how they found their guy, about how great Daniel is, about how they think of the world of him. So whatever the coaches want to do in kind of keeping the expectations and the praise low, ownership's going to be signing the checks, and we already know what they think.
Yeah, that's true. They can't wait to pay Daniel Jones. It kind of justifies their draft pick. But I think they have to be careful, because you pay Daniel Jones too much, it hurts your team. They still have a lot of holes on their team. But let's go back to the mindset this weekend, tonight. You know, one thing I know Daboll, he's learned from some of the greats and obviously highly influenced by Belichick. Do you get a sense there's going to be some trickery in their game plan? Because I get the feeling that you're going to see them take chances that typically they haven't taken during the season.
I think there's a fair possibility. I mean, you saw them late in the season against the Eagles actually put some strange, uncommon, first-time special teams plays on tape, a fake field goal, an onside kick. They did that on purpose in a game where they were sitting the rest of their starters. They did it, you know, for the Vikings to look at and study, to give them something extra to look at, but also knowing that they might face the Eagles again. And I think particularly, Michael, we've seen them go so pass heavy in their offense now and put it on Daniel Jones's back. And Saquon Barkley's been more of a decoy, a man in motion. He'll run out for what looks like a swing pass out to the outside, but really it's just a simple handoff to Matt Breida up the middle, opens up some lanes, he gets 5-6 yards. I think you're going to start seeing Saquon no longer be a deep decoy and go back to getting the ball in some of those tricky spots as a man in motion, as a receiver lined up in the slot. You know, Kafka and Dable, you said it, they will save things. They know what works, and they will save things even that they might have thought would work in week 18 for a game like this. That is the thing that I woke up this morning thinking, as much as I believe the Eagles are the better team, there's just something in the back of your mind that tells you not to count the Giants out, especially because of their potentially coaching advantage that they have.
And when we woke up this morning, Pat Leonard joining us, it was 7.5. Philly's getting bet, Pat. They're up to 8 at a bunch of shops now. Surprised to see Philly jumping up to 8 here? I'm guessing not.
You know, that is interesting to me, because I know money was coming in both ways earlier in the week, big money. And I think the reason is because at least the word coming out of Philadelphia and the Eagles beat and writers who cover that team is that Jalen Hurts is okay. And I really think it comes down to that. You know, I agree with the sentiment that if his shoulder's healthy and if he can put his head down and run and take contact and be no worse for wear, then the Giants are just going to have a hard time not only winning but covering. So it doesn't surprise me, but I do think it's about whether that information's accurate or not, we'll see. But I think it's about some of that information trickling out that people think that he's ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to try to show early in the game I mean, I'm going to use my crystal ball. I think early in the game they're going to try to show Martindale and the Giants staff that, hey, he's healthy. You better defend the run every play. And I think that the Giants are going to do some form of trickery, whether it's the, you know, unbalanced look where you're throwing the ball to the tight end, which is really a tackle or something, because they're going to try to capture the moment and figure out a way to play from in front. You know, they played this game once from behind. It didn't work. They're going to need to play it from in front, not by, you know, hey, 24 to nothing or that. They know that's not going to happen, but they got to be able to play from in front a little bit, because then it puts the pressure on Philly. And as you said, Pat, I think the Eagles fans are expecting this to be a blowout. I think if the line was 35, Eagle fans would still bet it.
If the Giants kick off to open this game and open with an onsides kick, I am screaming your name from the rooftops on calling this. Because I think you're right, though. I think that the Eagles getting in front spells doom for the Giants. And also, that Vikings game, Kevin O'Connell played right into Wink Martindale's hands, especially by throwing the ball on third and short, fourth and short. I mean, they're running a trick play, tied 7-7 in the first quarter on a throwback to Kirk Cousins on like third and one or third and two.
Yeah.
I think the Eagles, I agree with you, they're just going to run the ball straight at the Giants early on with Hurts, with Miles Sanders, maybe with the Giant killer Boston Scott, until the Giants stop it.
Yeah, okay. And you know, I do think this too. I think that Kevin O'Connell, you know, the one thing that's different from last week to this week, Martindale was in a 7 defensive back front, and Kevin O'Connell refused to call runs. He refused it. He just kept throwing it. That's not going to happen this weekend.
Absolutely. Totally agree. Yeah, the Giants are going to have to adjust schematically as well. Dory Jackson did very well on Justin Jefferson. They bracketed him. But their strategy, like you said, because the personnel is going to have to change to handle the run, the strategy in handling the receivers, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, is going to have to change as well on the back end.
Quiet confidence. That's what I'm hearing from Pat Leonard. You're around this team more than anybody. It does seem like you have some quiet confidence with this Giants team headed to Philly, no?
I think the Eagles win, and I think they have a good chance to cover. I just don't believe that. I would say this: in early December, when the Giants told us and me to my face that they were a way inferior team to the Eagles and we're not where we need to be, I kind of right then and there said, well, if they meet again, I mean, that's not happening. So I don't doubt them, I guess, as much as I did back then. But I think the Eagles cover, or they're up 10 and the Giants kind of backdoor cover. But I do think the Eagles win the game.
Perfect. P. Leonard, great. NYDN, New York Daily News. Well, you got the Ocean City shirt on, so next
it.
Time you're
gotta
in Ocean it. City, bring my guy on, Michael Lombardi, on Talking
he's
Ball,
he's been here
podcast.
Before. He's been in the office. He's been in the office. He's paid okay. His respects to the mayor. I mean, he's done it all.
A slice of Manco and Mancos, man. Let's go.
There you go. Okay. Yeah, that's right. Need some of that
today.
There
he is, Pat. Enjoy the game today, Pat. Appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. See you.
Okay. Pat Leonard, thank you very much. From Pat to Thomas Gable out at the Borgata next.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. So every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM reward points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets. It's never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, which is featuring a fresh new redesign. So make sure you check it out. You can also use those BetMGM reward points for dining, shows, hotel rooms. It's a great deal. It's the best loyalty program in the game. 21 years or older, 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. We're back. Lombardi Line on a Saturday, special Saturday, doubleheader with divisional football, of course, division round in the postseason. I'm Patrick Maher. He's Michael Lombardi. We head out to the Borgata and say hi to our partner. He runs the race and sports book there at the Borgata in Atlantic City. Of course, Thomas Gable. Did you say goodbye to our buddy Howard Eskin as he was leaving the building?
I didn't get a chance to say goodbye to him. I said hello to him when I was walking in, though, and always great to hear Howard going off on the Sixers and Embiid, and hopefully him and Michael got the bond over that this morning.
Yes. Well, we didn't talk about Glenn. We didn't talk about Glenn, but we talked about that. And, you know, we didn't mention that Isaiah Joe, I think, scored 23 points last night, was 7 of 12 from the three-point line. But, you know, he couldn't play for us because Glenn refused to play young players. We didn't get down that road, but we'll get there eventually. I'm not bitter.
There really isn't much to complain about in Sixers land right now.
I could find a lot. Yeah.
If you heard the off-air conversation between Michael Lombardi and Howard Eskin, they haven't won a game this year. Okay.
Just
thanks,
I'm
sure. Yes, I'm sure.
Just a note. Busy
but
day.
But we're fans.
But they're fans, and that's we love the passion. Busy day. Close to 150 games of college hoops, and you've got the two big games in the NFL. This is going to be nuts over there at the Borgata today.
And UFC pay-per-view tonight as well. So, yeah, it's today is going to be just a monster of an evening for us here with the crowd that we're expecting. And obviously these two fan bases don't always play nice between the Giants and the Eagles. So it's going to be a little combustible here tonight, I think. But it'll be interesting and entertaining nonetheless.
You know, it's funny, Patrick. I think when you come back to the Borgata, it is a New York and Philly book, you know. So I think TG's going to have to do a good job of putting the Eagle fans on one side and Giant fans on the other, because it could be very combustible, especially they have these giant crafts of beer, you know, and with this game starting at 8:15, it could get a little – there's going to have to be a lot of security in that building, and it's not going to be Barney Fife coming over either, I can tell you that.
We're opening the nightclub late tonight, so because all the bouncers will be in here for crowd control. I was going to say the NFL didn't really do a whole lot of planning in terms of putting this Eagles game on at 8:15 on a Saturday night. I mean, that gives Philadelphia 12 hours of drinking time to prepare. So I know they were out at the Stadium District already this morning at probably 8 a.m. So
have you moved to 8 on the game? Philly hosting the Giants. We'll start with the late game tonight. Yep. Have you moved from 7.5 to 8?
Yes, we are sitting 8 right now in this game. And, you know, a lot of people, if you're a Philly backer, everybody's saying, well, why is it only 8? Because when you look at these two teams on paper, obviously Philadelphia is a much better team. They're a much more talented team, basically at every position, possibly with the exception of running back. But everywhere else, Philly is the better team. They're more talented, and you know, I think the offensive line and the defensive line for Philadelphia absolutely have the chance to dominate this game. And the Eagles, in most people's minds, should be a double-digit favorite, if at least people around these parts here. But the Giants are taking money, at least here. It's a pretty evenly bet game, and I think it's going to continue to be just because of who we attract here. I mean, we attract, obviously, a lot of New Yorkers and a lot of Philadelphians. So it's going to be a very evenly bet game, very, very heavily bet game. I mean, going through the week, this game here was you were doing about five times the business on this game as you were the other three NFL playoff games. So this one has all the attention. Obviously, both fan bases are pumped up for it. But I think what when we look at these two teams, Brian Daboll has managed to get the most out of his team, and in my opinion, he's done a tremendous job this year. Not many people expected the Giants to be in this position in year one of his tenure, to be in the divisional playoff round, and Daboll is I think the reason that they are here. He has been able to scheme to his team's strengths and max out those strengths. They don't have the same strengths that the Philadelphia Eagles do, but I think Daboll could very well be the difference maker here in if the Giants can cover this number. Obviously, it would be a big upset if the Giants could win this game outright, but I think a lot of people here are at least counting on the Giants to be able to keep it within the number.
Yeah, I mean, I think his goal has got to be, I got to get this game into the fourth quarter close. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier in the show, Chris Russo on Mad Dog Radio yesterday said that, you know, watch these Eagle fans start to panic if it's close going into the fourth quarter. I think that's true in the stadium, and I think it's going to be true on the sidelines because I think they're not used to this, right? I think they feel like their dominance can take over. And when you watch the first game, yeah, they did dominate, but there was a lot of things that the Giants did poorly in the game that I think they can correct now. But how much teaser action are you getting on these first two games with these giant spreads, Thomas?
Right. So This is the other kind of talking point throughout this week has been the teaser action that we've seen on the two games that are scheduled for today. And where those lines opened up, Eagles opened up 7.5 here, and we opened the Chiefs 9, but that dipped down to 8.5. And when that number was at 8, 8.5, you know, obviously very popular teaser play, not just here, but across the country, where people are teasing the Chiefs and the Eagles down. So now what you've seen really started yesterday and into the day, you're starting to see some teaser protection, we'll say, creep in here. So the Chiefs now 9.5-point favorites. Obviously, you're not going to be able to tease 6 points now down through that key number of 3. And the Eagles here obviously have also crept up. So, yeah, there is going to be a lot of teaser liability out there, not just here, for probably any sports book in the country. This is the most popular bet that you're going to see out there today was that 6-point teaser. But the Chiefs number, obviously, where it's at now at 9.5, you're not going to be able to get through that key number of 3.
Yeah.
And Patrick, real quick, it's interesting, nobody teases up. Nobody takes Jacksonville and takes 16.5. Like, why is that not an option? Like, nobody takes the Giants up to 14. Like, why wouldn't you do that?
Professional bettors do. Thomas, you know that. Professional bettors will go up with their teases.
They will. But even I've seen a lot of pros who are saying that they're going to tease the Chiefs and Eagles this week. And I think with both of these offenses, with Kansas City and Philadelphia, I mean, they both have obviously the ability to really put it on an opponent. I haven't seen many teasers come through teasing up the Jags and teasing up the Giants. But, you know, the day is young. We could see them, especially now, 9.5. I mean, you might see some Jaguars getting teased up there.
Teasing Kansas City from 9.5 down to 3.5, just as a note, defies any type of gambling logic involved.
Right.
Just to be clear, right. Cincinnati Buffalo. Are you up to 6, or are you sitting Buffalo laying 5.5?
We just went to 6 this morning, and it's this game. It's interesting because we opened it at 4, and at 4.5, and I think the more respected players came in and laid that number early with Buffalo, and you know obviously the issue there with the Bengals is going to be on the offensive line. When you're missing 3 key pieces of an offensive line, that's a big deal. And yes, Joe Burrow got to the Super Bowl last year with a very shaky offensive line, was running for his life on a lot of games. But, missing three big pieces there, I think is just it's going to be a lot to overcome. And that's why I think you saw a lot of the early Bills money.
Okay, TG, before we say goodbye, quickly on San Francisco, are you laying 4 with Dallas in town?
We are. We're laying 4, and ticket count and money is pretty even right now on that game. That one's I know it's going to be a very popular game out there where you are in Vegas. But right now, pretty evenly bet game here.
Okay. We'll have plenty more on Cincy, Buffalo, Dallas, San Francisco tomorrow with you, Thomas, live from the Borgata. Thank you, and enjoy your day.
Thank you, TG. Awesome. And appreciate you.
Good luck bouncing. Good luck bouncing today. I'm sure you're probably going to be in the mix as well, no? Good luck to you as Giants and Eagles fans invade the Borgata. When we come back, it's a short board, but we're going to run it. Michael Lombardi's plays on the divisional round next.
To the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, great opportunity to tell you about our introductory offer. Again, we've added, and Michael Lombardi, you know this, we've added, what, over 300, over 350 radio affiliates over the past couple of weeks. So we welcome you to the family along with Nesson and Marquee and Masson. It's been awesome over the past few years as we've watched the audience grow. Right now, $9.99 introductory offer. I often mention the Lombardi Look Ahead. That's exclusive for VSiN Pros, including the betting guides, pro tools, pro picks, everything. I just was looking earlier today. Bill AD sent over the picks from hosts and guests. I think there were something like 70 picks. So have fun with that and take a look. It's only $9.99 right now. VSiN.com/subscribe. As we welcome you back here.
So many college basketball games. I mean, my Lord, there's so many college basketball games out there. And, you know, we spend so much time talking about football and the NFL, rightly so. But the college season is heating up. And, you know, and you're going to have to use somebody else's expertise to get it. And Thomas Gable, Mike Somich, I mean, those guys have done a really good job.
Yeah.
Greg Hoops Peterson, I mean, that guy's amazing. You know, he's able to find out. I listened to him talk, and I'm like, whoa, where'd this guy come from? He's from another planet.
Yeah, I listened to him talk, and I think another planet as well. But he does a great job with the college hoops. And mentioned it. Somich just sent over a pick for VSiN Pros, and so did Gable with the picks. Michael, all kidding aside, with the basketball, and again, we're in league play, but you got 150 games today, thereabouts. That goes back to what you do with football. Sometimes the Hall and Oates plays. You cannot cap 150 games. You have to immediately start eliminating and really start to focus because it takes up a lot of your day to cap five games, to say the least.
Yeah, I think if you even in the NFL, I think what you have to do in the NFL is really know 8, 9, 10 teams. I mean, you have to almost approach NFL handicapping as if you were a pro personnel director in the NFL, where you're studying your team, but you're also studying your opponent, and who's ever on your schedule, you really know very well. And there'll be some teams that you're not playing out of conference, or you know that you're not, because of where you finished, that you don't know as well.
Exactly.
And if you stay in your "I really know this team" lane really well, you can do some damage. But if you try to get outside your lane, especially in college basketball, college football, you're prone to mistakes. Because even when you know something, you know, when you feel really good about a team and you feel like, okay, this match, you still could lose because that ball bounces in such a unique direction that you've got to be careful. So I think it's really about minimizing risk. And that's why when you listen to Peterson or Somich or Thomas Gable and all the guys we have here at the network, it kind of helps you.
In specialization, you talked about minimizing the risk. My mentor growing up, he was a professional bettor, and he used to say, Mountain West, kid, Mountain West. And I was like, what? Mountain West? He's like, college football, college basketball, just bet the Mountain West. And that's specialization, where you get to know a conference, you get to know the ins and outs, the rhythms of the conference and those teams, and it really can be helpful. Okay, enough of that. Let's get to it. It's an awesome day. I know you're excited to turn the volume all the way up on your TV today and hear the breakdowns of these games.
I have to. I got Millie's who's in the house. She says, can we have the sound on, please?
No.
You know, I should tape that and play that. Could we have the sound on, please? I don't hear sound. I mean, then, okay, we'll get it on for you. Don't worry. Here it comes.
I just picture you sitting there with the earmuffs on, the volume blockers.
I only need one earmuff. I can only hear out of one ear, so I only need to block one out. So, but and then you know I got to make it louder. So and then I get angry and aggravated when I hear something. But look, I think it'll be a fun day today.
She's dealt with it before. She knows what's going. And by the way, happy belated earlier this week, Millie.
Yeah, of course.
With her birthday.
It's still going on, Patrick. It's still going on. Don't worry.
It's called the month of January. That's what Millie's birthday is.
Exactly right.
Jacksonville, Kansas City, Michael. So again, and you did a good job explaining the teaser protection. Remember, standard teases are 6. So right now we're sitting 9.5 with Kansas City. You tease that down, that's 3.5. That's a no-go. But I'll just tell you, it's 9.5 with Kansas City, and the total is 53.
You know, what I would probably like to do is I would probably tease both these games in the Saturday window up. I would tease them up.
Go.
I would get the Giants up to 14 because there's 8s out there all over the place. And I would get the Jaguars up to 15.5, you know. And so, like, I feel like those two numbers would really serve me well. I would lean towards taking Jacksonville and the 9.5. I see 9.5s out there all over the place, especially, at Circa, it's 9.5. I think, to me, look, Mahomes is great, and I think the Chiefs will win, and I think the Chiefs will stay completely in control. But 9.5 is a lot of points, and I think that the one thing the Jaguars will do is I think they'll try to, you know, they'll keep trying to keep it close, keep it going, And they can make some plays against the secondary of the Chiefs if they block them up front. And they can. And so Lawrence, I think, will play well. And I think if he can do that. Look, the teams that give the Chiefs the most trouble are teams with really good quarterbacking play and receivers that can win one-on-one on the outside. And they're going to have to play better defensively, but the game's going to be somewhere in the 20s. If the Chiefs score 31, you know, I kind of think that the Jaguars can score 24. So I think that's the point. But I really like the two-team teaser of taking Jacksonville higher and taking the Giants higher and feel protected in both those plays. So that two would be my official plays, if you will, the two-team teaser between the dogs today and getting them higher.
Okay, what I love about that is, first off, you're getting Jacksonville at 15.5. But remember, with Michael's tease, Philly's gone to 8. So you're getting that key number of 14 with the Giants
right.
If you go up 6. So
that's right. Whereas your timing's perfect. If you went to 13.5, it's not really good enough. You know,
100%. You're cutting down on the probability.
It's like Eskin said. Like Eskin said earlier in the show, what good is 27? You know, it's you're not going to be able to do that. So especially, it's funny for a guy like Staley who spent his whole life with trying to be this analytical and go for it all the time. When he got in that situation, he didn't. I mean, that's the thing that makes you crazy about Staley is he doesn't even know who he is. One minute he's an analytical guy, he's going for it all the time. The next minute he's not. Like, who are you?
The ghost of Brandon Staley. What I love about Brandon Staley is a couple of years ago, nobody knew who he was. Now he's not involved in divisional weekend, but we talk about him on divisional weekend. That is it's the ghost
because
of Brandon.
Because his game management is worth discussing.
Disaster.
You know, look, I think Peterson today has got to be really aggressive. I'm not going to complain if he goes for it on fourth down. You know, now if it was at his own 20, I would. But, I mean, it's somewhere in that midfield. And I think he's got to really guard against his kicker. I think his kicker is not reliable. He missed two kicks there before, which worries you. And so I would think if he's got to have a huge fourth down volume play sheet this weekend, you know, and I think that that's what he needs to do. So I would suggest that, you know, because he knows he can't have 6 empty possessions out of 11. He's never going to win this game. He's never going to win this game.
Totals aren't your favorite. Over-unders, not your favorite. But just taking a quick glance at the Giants and Eagles, does 48 seem high to you? I'll ask you that way.
All right, so you know how I always like to do this. So if 48's the number, one team scores 27, the other team scores what? You know, 24, that's 51, you know? So, you know, do I think that the Eagles will score in the 20s? Yeah. Do I think the Giants would? Yeah, the weather's not going to be a factor. I think the Giants can move the ball on them. I think that over really, now it's ticked down a little bit, but I think the over would be, I think it's going to go over. I think the Eagles' mentality in this game is not to stop. I think they're going to try to keep scoring, worrying about the Giants. And once they get control of the game, then I think they'll run the clock out.
If you just want to focus on the team totals, Michael, I'll give them to you. The Giants team total is set at 20. So again, you can just bet whether the Giants score over or under 20 points. And the Eagles team total is set at 27.5. So you were kind of right on that number with the Eagles.
Right. I think in playoff football, because I think both teams will try to run the ball, both teams will try, and Daboll has to reduce the game. So to me, if you're playing the Giants and taking the 8 or like me teasing it up to 14, you might want to play the under, because for them to win or stay close, they've got to slow the pace of the game down. They don't want to get, and not that the Eagles are going to play a track meet, but remember, the formula to beat Philadelphia was the formula Washington used. Convert third downs, keep the ball, make them play from behind a little bit in the game, and force the pressure on them, not the pressure on you.
Okay. The first game kicks off at 4:30 your time, so plenty of time for you to go home and cook brunch and get the honeydew chores done, okay? There's plenty of time for you.
I'm going to take care of all those. Those are easy. I can't wait to get on those. I get my tool belt on, Patrick, and I'm ready to go. You know that.
Yeah, I know. Trust me, I know. Howard Eskin, thank you. Carl Johnson, Pat Leonard, Thomas Gable, awesome guest today. More guests coming up tomorrow. Good job, Elliot.
Thanks, Elliot. Michael. Elliot's like, you know, the booking agent of all time. He's like running Motown over there. He's booking everybody. He's doing good.
Yeah, he's doing a great job. Followed the 0-16 Lions, but he's coming through. Michael, sorry. Michael, 30 seconds. I'm going to give it to you on the way out.
I think expect the unexpected today. I think, you know, that stat about the first number one seeds, 34% cover. I think we'll have good games.
There it is. I like that. Teasing both of them up, going the other way. Michael Lombardi, enjoy your day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Have a good day.